Bibles, please remain standing. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. We're going to read verses 10 and 11. We'll read both of these verses out loud in unison together tonight. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verses 10 and 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verses 10 and 11. All right. It's right after the book of Proverbs. Here we go. You ready? Let's read these in unison. Ready? Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to the men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. And let's pray. Father, we need you. Holy Spirit of God, would you take the next 25, 30 minutes and bless in a special way? Lord, such a simple truth, and yet a powerful truth that could permeate every aspect and every part of our lives. I pray that you'd help in a very special way. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Here in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, we read something that encourages me. I'm going to give you the title of my sermon, and you'll chuckle, you'll laugh, but you'll see where I'm headed with this in a moment. I call this Lessons I Learned Shoveling Snow. Lessons I learned shoveling snow. Of course, this last weekend, we had a historic blizzard here. Virtually the whole area with 40 or so inches of snow. And I, like you, spent days digging out and shoveling and throwing snow over my head and throwing it back over my head when it blew back where it was and everything else. And it was just a historic blizzard. It is either the first or the second largest snowstorm in this area in about 140 years. It's just one of the few things. I've been here for four of the five historic storms. This is getting a little ridiculous. Now, it was a whopper. My mom said, "Oh, could you take some pictures?" I thought, "Why?" She said, "Well, my therapist down here is from South America. She's never seen snow in her life." I said, "Send her up here. She'll have all she ever wants." But I sent a picture. I was standing in our basement in our family room, and I looked out, and my six-foot fence in the back of my backyard was covered with a snowdrift, and you could not see the top of the fence. And I said, "There's a six-foot fence there." And the lady asked my mom, "Where's the fence?" And she was able to widen out, and she said, "Well, how come there's snow over top of it?" She couldn't understand. And I'm thinking, yeah, you ought to have a little white 19-pound beagle dog and throw it out in the snow and watch what happens. You can't find that critter, amen? I had to shovel a stupid path for the dog, amen? Doggone. Anyway, now, I tried to stay up with it, but it was a never-ending battle. For a while, it felt like a losing battle. I grew up in northeastern Ohio. I grew up in Canton, Ohio, and we live right at the southern edge of the snow belt. I grew up in snow country. The blizzard of 76, 77, we had about 38 inches of snow. Blizzard of 77, 78, we had 48 inches of snow, and that was the actual snowfall, not the drifts. This was not an unusual thing where I grew up. We got the tail end of the lakefront snow from Lake Erie. And you talk about a snow machine. Lake Erie is a snow machine. Now, I say that to say this. I remember years in the blizzard of 77, 78, we had gotten a couple storms before then and already had about a foot, foot and a half of snow on the ground. And then we got four more feet. And you don't understand, when you've got 5 feet of snow on the ground, and at that time I was about, 10, 11 years old, so I was about that tall, the snow was over my head, just the regular snow. We had snow drifts.
You won't believe this. We couldn't get out the front door. The snow had gone all the way up over the front door and over the canopy over the front door, and the front door opened out. So my dad lifted the storm window, and we had to start taking snow through the house so we could dig a hole to get out so we could start shoveling that. And he put the thing, of course, guess who the little one that had to go through the storm window was? But I got out there. I didn't know what to do with it after I got out there, but I poked a hole through it. And it was bad. The end of our drive, you know where all the snow you pile up as you throw the snow at the end of the driveway and then the plows come through and close you off? It was so bad, we couldn't throw the snow up to the top. So Dad would shovel an area out and put one of us on the side, and then my brother would climb up, and Dad would put the snow in my shovel. I'd put the snow in my brother's shovel, and he would run down the top of the pile so that we could run it down there and get the end of the driveway plowed out. I've been through some major snowstorms, trust me. I was in Chicago for many years. We got a lot of them there. I've been around snow. Now, during one of my excursions out into the storm to shovel again, I can't tell you that I went out with the joy of the Lord in my heart. Amen? I was grumbling a little bit, and and my back was sore. I don't like snow to begin with. I've had all I ever want to see in my life, and here I am shoveling snow, and I'm thinking, Lord, this is really stupid. And then the Holy Spirit said, but I'm trying to teach you something. So I kept shoveling and I kept listening, and I'm going to give you what the Lord gave me. Now, just so you know, I don't want another snowstorm for God to teach me something. I told him I'd listen without snow from now on. But I want to share with you five things that the Lord gave me as I was moaning and groaning and throwing snow with you this last week. Number one, and it's not, I hate snow, 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 though that would be a true outline for me. It wasn't my outline. Number one, the task is not pleasant and often overwhelming, but it can be accomplished. The task is not pleasant, often overwhelming, but it can be accomplished. Now, I don't have a long driveway, but when you got 3 or 4 feet of snow in there, I don't care if you only have to shovel 5 feet, there's a lot of snow there. There was a lot of cubic inches of snow out there. And I'll be honest with you, there's... When your cars are parked in the driveway, when you're on the wind side, you can't walk around your cars with every shovel full to throw it out there. So you got to throw it into the wind. And I learned enough about snow, so I would push it over and pack it down, push it over and pack it down, push it over and pack it down. That way it didn't blow as much. And so I was doing that. I had to look at it step by step. If I walked out and said, oh, man, here we go again. And if I looked at the whole job, that's why I started groaning and grumbling and complaining. I learned enough about shoveling snow. You just keep your head down and just look at the next shovelful. Yeah, yes, sir. If you just look at the next shovelful and you don't know how much more to go, it doesn't matter. And you don't turn around to find out that it was already covered up, which you just did. You just keep your head down, just keep going. A big job is nothing but a series of small jobs. Too many people get overwhelmed with big projects because all they see is the whole project and they don't break it down into smaller steps. You got to break things down into smaller steps. Many of you ladies, you won't clean your house like you should because you try to clean it all at one time and all in one day versus maybe cleaning part of it one day, part of it another day, part of it another day. Well, I don't want to clean every day. Well, you don't clean it all at one time, so why don't you clean a little bit every day and then it'll be clean. You take a big job and break it down into smaller jobs. Now, I tried not to look at the whole thing, just the next shovelful. I didn't look around to see how far I had to go. I really didn't. I didn't look around to say, I've been out here for 15 minutes and I barely got the sidewalk done. I'm just now getting to the, I didn't do that. I didn't look at my watch. I didn't think about time. I just thought about the next shovel full and the next three layers that I had to get out to get to the bottom. And that's what I did. By the way, I didn't think about how far I had gone or how far I had not gotten. You know, too many of us, we get out there and we start shoveling and we think, man, this is all the farther I got. Look how much farther I have to go. You're looking back, you're looking ahead instead of looking down at what's in front of you. And a job like that, you just got to keep looking down and keep shoveling. Keep shoveling. And by the way, I approached it knowing it wasn't going to be done the first time I did it. I didn't go out there Friday night or Saturday morning and say, it's snowing an inch an hour, I'm going to shovel and it's all going to be gone by the time I get done. Right. Shoot, I'd get to the end of the driveway and come back and I had to shovel my way back to the house at times. Now, I realized that it was going to take several times throughout the storm if I was going to do it. I'm not one of these people that waited till Saturday night or Sunday morning to start shoveling. Say, why? You don't do that, especially when your back hurts like mine does. You could take it in smaller allotments, and I didn't have as much to shovel each time. Now, a lot of it would blow back in. I understand that, but it wasn't as much the second or the third or the fourth time. You just got to keep going at it. So the task is not pleasant, often overwhelming, but it can be accomplished. I got to tell you a funny story. I was out there shoveling, and of course the snow is piled up everywhere. And I look back, Brother June, I saw my heat pump back there. And I couldn't see it. I knew where it was, but I couldn't see it. And I thought, that's not good. That thing's got to breathe. And I thought, there is no way I'm shoveling from here to there to get there. Here I go. I stepped out, and I'm in snow up to my waist the whole way back there. I get there, and I thought, I got to shovel a spot out to stand in because this is not comfortable. So I'm shoveling out a spot. I stepped into it to where I could actually breathe and not have snow over my waist going down inside my belt and coat and everything else. And then I start digging out the heat pump. I got that thing dug out Saturday morning. I went out there Saturday night the last time, went back, got to the end of my driveway and thought, at least my heat pump is not covered up, but it was covered up again. You know, I had to go back out there and do the same stupid thing again. Well, then, I don't remember what day it was. It must have been Sunday when everybody was plowed in and stuff. I realized we didn't get the gate to our backyard closed all the way. Well, that wasn't something I wanted. And I had 5 and 6 foot snowdrifts in my backyard. And I said, I got to get back there. So I had dug a trench for the dog for a little ways, and I start trudging through there. My wife's taking pictures and laughing at me and everything else. I didn't think it was very funny. I got back there, and again, I'm standing in snow, you know, up over my waist, trying to dig out where the gate had to close because it all blew through there. Got the gate closed, got it locked. Then I had to walk back. Well, I had to shovel off my porch out our deck a couple times because that's a lot of weight on there and I didn't want it coming down, so I shoveled that a couple times. I had to open the door and start throwing snow from inside in the kitchen to throw it off because I couldn't get out into it because it was waist high. It was over my grill, you know, thinking, bruh. And the whole time I'm out there grumbling, I hate snow, I hate snow, I hate snow, I hate snow, and God was teaching me these lessons. The task is not pleasant, often overwhelming, but it can be accomplished. Number two, you often have to face the job alone. A lot of times you face a job like that alone. I am young enough, at least for now, that my neighbors didn't come knock on my door saying, can I shovel your yard or shovel your driveway for you? Say, why? because I'm not to the level where I need help doing it. I just need to get out there and get it done. I was out there, and my next door neighbor and his teenage boy were out there. They were doing his. I'm doing mine. He said, "Bet you missed them boys about now, don't you?" I said, "No, I missed them before the storm started. I knew what was coming." And I got done. I started at the same time he did, but I got mine done. There was two of them working on his. And I thought, I might be old, but I can still keep up with two of yous, all right? He said, "You want to come help?" I said, "No, because I got to do mine again. I got to save up energy at my age." Then one day I was out there, and the neighbor across the street, she said, "I bet you miss those boys, don't you?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "This almost 50 thing isn't what it's cracked up to be in this kind of weather." And one of them said, "Oh, 50's the new 30. I said, "You haven't been 50 yet, have you?" And she looked at me. I said, "Don't go there right now. Don't go there." Wait a minute. I didn't get upset that my neighbors didn't come out and help me. I didn't. You say, why? Because I didn't want to go help them. I was too tired. I told my wife, the neighbors, they're newer neighbors. They moved in within the last year. They were across the street, and theirs kept getting higher and higher and higher, and thinking, man, they're really going to have troubles here. And I came in, and a little while later, they were out there shoveling, and I looked. I told my wife, I said, "You know, I really should go out there." And the Lord was kind of convicting me, and I was in the middle of another project, and I went out, and I looked out the front window. That cotton picker had a plow on the front of his mower, and he was pushing it down the driveway out into the... I thought, no wonder I didn't go help you. And I got to laughing about it, but I didn't get upset because people didn't come ask to help me. By the way, it wasn't a job for my wife to do. It was my job. My wife doesn't know how to shovel snow. You say, well, it doesn't take much. Well, I didn't want her shoveling snow. Number one, getting my wife out there, she'd have had a hard time getting to that heat pump thing in 4 foot of snow because it'd have been over her head. You know, and by the way, I found satisfaction each time I got the job done. Now, I walked back to the house like this, but I was satisfied I got it done. Now, wait a minute. I took the challenge upon myself to do it and to be happy while I did it. I didn't have to like the snow, but I realized I was going to do it, and I was going to do it all by myself. Why complain about doing it myself? You say, well, preacher, I'd have helped you. No, you wouldn't. No, you couldn't get out. It didn't matter. You had as much to get done or more than, I mean, my driveway is not that big. Thank God. And I told my wife, I said, we're parking both vehicles in the driveway. Number one, I don't want to dig one out. Number two, it's going to be less shoveling. Amen. I grew up in this stuff. I know. And I knew how to park them and get them just where I needed them. I know how the wind blows, and it was good. It was good. Now, wait a minute. I knew I was going to face it alone. Number three, sometimes a job is too big for yourself, and you got to get help. There's no way your preacher could get to the church with one shovel and shovel out all that parking lot. Y'all know what I'm talking about? How would you like to shovel that parking lot? Have you seen the piles of snow out there that are already melted compared to what? And that was done with a plow truck. There was no way we could do that by hand. If we would have had 20 guys out there, we'd have got the driveway open and that's it. Because it was just, you don't even understand how deep the snow is out there and how much volume there was. Thank God for Brother Harry and his family. And then that was about he lost his beauty sleep. Sunday night into Monday morning till about 1:30, quarter to 2, they finally got this thing plowed out. The plow truck got stuck going down the driveway with the plow on it. They had to go get another truck to pull him out, all right? When you get a plow truck stuck, you've done something, amen? And so we got that, and then on Monday, Brother Barnes and the Branson family came, and they shoveled and cleared and what I call dressed out the lot a little bit. And things started melting, and boy, we got this thing cleaned off, and we made it today, amen? And it's clean, it's safe, and praise the Lord for it. I had to realize there's no way one person was going to get it all done. Poor Brother Barnes, he couldn't even plow his with his four-wheeler. They had to shovel before he could plow. And then once you plowed, you couldn't get out. They didn't plow the roads. They made one strip right down the middle of my road, about as wide as our aisle here. And I had to shovel all the way out to that, 10 feet out into the street, just to be able to get out of my driveway. And then, of course, you know, I grew up where you had to have your mailbox uncovered, and you got to have the mailbox undone. And the plow that did go through pushed it all right on top of my mailbox. You all know, and thinking, oh, Lord. It took me about 2 hours or an hour and a half to get my mailbox and enough for the stupid mail truck to get in there, and the mail didn't run for 3 days. I told my wife, what's this about wind, rain, or snow? We'll, yeah, not in West Virginia, that's for sure. And here I am, you know, it's ice chunks. And the snow's already that high, and you're like, where in the world am I going to throw this stuff, you know? And if I throw it on the one side, when the plow truck comes through, it's going to push it all back there again. Now, I had to swallow my pride and ask a couple folks to come help with the church. I didn't want to, but it was something I had to do. And every once in a while, something gets too big. You know, Fred and Wally didn't need to be out plowing their driveway. Thank God they had somebody that came in and plowed for them and had a truck and was able to push them open. She didn't get out till yesterday, but I finally got her car out and turned around with her and taught her she could after I got bombed with birds on the day before, amen? I'm bringing my shotgun out. We're going to take care of them, Fred, amen? Now, wait a minute. Every once in a while, you get to the point where you got to admit you need some help. Number 4, told you I was going to get through this thing pretty quick. This is one I didn't want to add, but the Lord made me add it. I found muscles I forgot I had. I found muscles I forgot I had. You say, why did you forget them? Because I hadn't been using them, at least to that level. You know, it's not bad to work or strain them. It makes you stronger. Now, there are some that shouldn't have been out there shoving. Brother Ron didn't have any business out there throwing snow with his neck and back in the shape he was in. He probably did anyway, but I know. He made Tammy do it while he was drinking coffee. But, you know, there comes a point in time where it didn't hurt me to work those muscles. I was still able to use them. Now, you take some of the older folks here and some of you ladies that shouldn't be out there doing that kind of stuff. I understand it. And by the way, I didn't try to compare myself to what I used to do when I was 15 years old either. I was out there thinking, man, this driveway feels long. This is only half as long as the driveway I grew up in. And then after I got done doing mine every day, I had 5 other driveways that I did and got paid for. I would do 6 driveways in blizzards. And I'm thinking, there ain't no way I could do 6 driveways. Them days are long gone. And I'm thinking, man, am I glad I don't have 5 more to go right now. I didn't try to compare myself with what I used to do. I didn't get discouraged about it. Matter of fact, I got encouraged, amen? Because I knew I didn't have to go back out there and do another driveway. Each time I shoveled, I remembered, man, when I was a kid, I'd have to do ours, and then I'd go across the street and do Erskine's, and I'd do the Erskine's neighbor, and then I'd have to go do Miss Millie's over 2 blocks over, and then the Lady Catacorn across the street from them, and then often on the way back through there, I'd get another one, and we'd do our neighbors, Mr. and Mrs. Culp right next door. Good night. I'd do 6 driveways. No wonder I was tired all the time. I didn't get in a whole lot of trouble because Dad worked us too hard to get in trouble, amen? I was too tired to go out and get in too much trouble. We kept busy. That's why at 16, I mowed grass, I shoveled snow, and at 16, I bought my first car and paid cash for it and had to pay my own insurance and fuel. But I did. And I did it $5 a driveway, amen? $5 a yard. Anymore, people wouldn't even start the mower for $5. But if I got $5, I thought that was big time stuff. During the blizzards, every once in a while, somebody would give me $10 to do their driveway, and I thought I was in hog heaven. Good night. I don't think I'd even pick up the shovel for $10 right now. Matter of fact, I'd sell you mine for $10. Man. I found muscles I forgot I had. Did you know? And there is going to be a spiritual application to all this. Hang on. Did you know that the only way to build muscle is to have resistance to it? Yesterday we finished digging the bus out. There was a little bit out front, and Brother June and Brother Barnes and I were out there, and we were throwing snow and bent over, and I'm thinking, oh, this is starting to hurt again. I wasn't doing it as fast as I did the first time. But we got it all pushed away and thrown out, and they didn't want me doing it, and I was too stubborn to let them know I was hurting. But they were hurting just as bad as I was. It didn't matter. We all used those muscles, and some of us haven't used those for a while. And to others, it was no big deal. Number five. This is where I really grumbled. I'm sorry. Others will plow through and block you in. Make you keep shoveling it out again. Oh. I spoke my piece this morning. People in West Virginia need to take a class on how to plow streets. When you get that kind of snow, you don't start in the middle and work your way out. You start on the edges, push it, get it as far off the side of the road as you can. Then you go through the middle and push it over so there's some place for it to go. All right? They don't understand that concept around here. They think if they start in the middle, well, I got a path. Yeah, and where are you going to push the rest of it? Idiots. I'm sorry. Nincompoop. Anyway, it just, and we got this all cleared out. God bless everybody helping. I got to church Wednesday night, and the plow truck went through and threw all that icy, chunky stuff out there. I told my wife, grrr. So before everybody got here, I grabbed the shovel. She came in, turned things on. I went out there, and I'm throwing chunks of ice everywhere and shoveling that thing out. I got here Thursday morning. I could barely get in with my pickup truck because they had closed it off again. So I shoveled it again before my secretary got here, and I'm out there. I was grumbling. I was getting ready to go make some visits. It's about 1:30, 2 o'clock, and I hear this going down. No. No. I turn preaching tape off. Say why? Because I didn't want to have a bad attitude during preaching. Got up and walked out and went, you idiots. It wasn't the other side of the street. It was our side again. Grab the shovel, go out and throw more chunks. I was so tired of moving the same snow over and over and over again. And then on Friday, I got to work and they had closed the end off and there were chunks of ice out there the size of my pulpit just about. Literally. You don't pick those up. And they were, well, it was, what, 12 degrees that morning, and they were frozen to the ground. And a plastic shovel, you can't break those. You know, you're going to break the shovel and the handle and yourself, amen? I ended up having to call Brother Barnes and said, I need your help. There's just no way. He had to hit him with his pickup truck later that afternoon after they thawed a little bit, try to break them up and then get them out of the way. I mean, they were massive. I wasn't a real happy person, just so you know. Every time I'd get it cleared out, they'd push it shut again. I'd get it cleared out, and they'd push it shut. And I'd get it cleared, and by the way, happened at my house too, like yours. And it seems like you work and you work and you work and you work, and then somebody comes through and pushes it shut again. Or you're driving down the road, and instead of them throwing it on the pile, people push it out in the middle of the road, so you got to hit it with your car. That really irritated me. Now, wait a minute. All of these principles are spiritual. Do you know that when you face big things in life, sometimes it's not pleasant? Sometimes it's overwhelming, but you can't accomplish it. Sometimes you got to face it alone. Sometimes it's too big for yourself and you got to ask for help. Sometimes you're going to find spiritual muscles you didn't remember you had. And sometimes people are going to plow it shut again. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Finding muscles you forgot you had. There's a reason I started with the story of my son and daughter-in-law and moving by faith. I was exercising muscles I forgot I had till I got to giggling about what we did to our parents. You know, I looked up that stupid house in California. We rented an 848 square foot house, 2-bedroom, 1-bath, 848 square feet. That means you could put 5 of those houses in this auditorium. Okay, literally. It was a small house. I mean, very small house. It was for sale. I looked it up this week. I screenshot it and showed it to my wife. I said, remember, we paid $1,000 or $1,100 a month rent back in 1990. Okay. $1,100 a month rent plus utilities. And the first 4 or 6 weeks we were there, the refrigerator was dead, and it took the landlord almost 6 weeks to get us a refrigerator. So we didn't have a refrigerator. We lived out of an igloo cooler and ice every couple days. You say, $1,100 a month, $1,100 a month. And then out there, at least 2 or 3 times a week, you got an earthquake shaking everything. It was exciting. I looked, I told my wife, I said, that house is for sale. You want to take a guess what they want for that house? She said, I don't know. Probably pretty expensive, probably $175,000, $200,000. I just laughed. It went $336,000 for that house on the market. And I could mow the yard in 5 minutes. I mean, literally mow the yard in 5 minutes. And I'm thinking, wow, I am so glad to be out of there. Wait a minute. We were exercising muscles we forgot we had. She and I were a little on pins and needles. She'd say, honey, what are these kids doing? They're loading a truck and they don't have anywhere to go. And I said, it's okay. They're living by faith. I said, God's going to take care of them. And then we got to thinking about what we did. It wasn't any better. It really wasn't. It was kind of funny. And all of that to say this, you know, at work, you're going to face the same kind of things. Too many people, when they see a job that's too big for them, they turn around and walk away from it. Instead of just putting their head down and getting the job done. Step by step, shovelful by shovelful, I had to get a little bit more wood. Well, I couldn't get to my wood pile. I had to shovel my way to the wood yesterday. And the snow that's out there now is really heavy. You know, all the melting has just kind of, it's absorbed all the water. And it's about 10 times as heavy as it was last week. It took me 2 rounds of shoveling to get back there. But I got back there. Got a little bit more wood. And can tell you something? I can't tell you that I really enjoyed it, but I thank God I had the wood. Amen. Thank God that Brother Barnes and I and some others, we were cutting wood all summer, and my wife and I carrying wood till we were about ready to pass out. But man, it sure felt good this week, especially when I had to undo the heat pump. You know, church is much the same way. Finances are much the same way. Any area of life, I'll be honest with you, I don't want to go through another snowstorm. I've had all the snow I care to have the rest of my life, just so you know. When we lived in Long Beach, you could drive 20 minutes and be at the ocean. You could stand in our front yard, look to the left, and you could see Big Bear Mountain and the snow cap year round. That was perfect. You could see the snow and be at the ocean, and it was 70 degrees year round. Now, I didn't like where we were, but as far as weather goes, it was perfect. That was the only perfect thing about that place. Believe me. Now, wait a minute. Just because you have perfect weather doesn't mean that everything's okay either. Every part of your life, let's just break it down, keep your head down, keep going. Know when to ask for help. Realize a lot of times you're going to be by yourself, and it's okay. But there's times it's going to be too much and you'll need help. Don't be afraid to ask for help. Can I tell you something? Don't be afraid to ask the preacher for help. Don't be afraid to ask somebody for help. And by the way, they may not be able to help you. Don't get mad. Somebody else will be there to be able to help you. And let's get this thing together. As I was throwing snow in the blowing wind and blizzard of this year, and I was grumbling to God, he said, "Why don't you get the lesson I have for you?" Because I don't want it. But I listened, and I gave to you what I learned while I shoveled snow last weekend. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Don't know all of your burdens, but I know this, many of us face many things, and some of us some pretty big things. You just got to do it one shovelful at a time.